We started a series last week called When the Church Prays, and we're gearing up toward our 10 days of fasting and prayer that begins September the 15th, this next Friday. And each night, except for Sunday night, we'll have evening prayer here. It's something new that we've started. Before, when we've done the 10 days of prayer, we've done early morning prayer. This year, we're trying out the evening prayer from 6:30 to 7:30, and we invite you to come and join us. If you did not get a prayer journal when you came in. Do you have one there, honey? Can you, if you don't mind, can you? Oh, that's something else. There's one right there. Molly's got one. If you did, I forgot to mention this in the first service. If you didn't get one of these when you came through the door, let me encourage you to grab one before you leave. They'll be in the hub, and it's a 10-day prayer journal, and there's things that we can be praying for countries all over the world. This year, it's really talking about the harvest and bringing in the harvest. And so there's different things in different countries to pray for. And then we've also got something that's very short here about just praying for Encounter Church. It's in a place for you to journal. So keep that in mind. If you didn't get one, we welcome everyone to have one of these for when we begin. I can sit over here. Thank you. Molly, right here. And when we begin our 10 days of fasting and prayer, we invite you to join us. But I kicked off a series last week called When the Church Prays. And last week was Labor Day weekend. In case you were out of town for that, I encourage you to go back to our Facebook page, on our Facebook page or YouTube. Pastor Caleb puts these messages on YouTube as well now. And I think our church page is Encounter Texoma, something like that. And you can tell. I just want you to know, I'm a pastor here, but they don't tell me anything. I mean, and I know nothing. I had so many things here. I'm just like, oh, really? Okay, cool. And there's a lot that I'm not aware of. And so, but Encounter, I think it's Encounter Texoma. We have a YouTube page, Encounter Church, let's say it that way, in Wichita Falls, has a YouTube page. And you can go there and watch the message as well. I encourage you to do that. And as I open up this series talking about prayer, When the Church Prays. Today, the title of the message is Believing Better Than We Behave. Believing Better Than We Behave. How many of you, and what does that really mean? Because most of us really feel like we behave according to our beliefs. But how many of you really believe that a good diet is healthy for you? It really is. A good diet, it's healthy for you, it's good for you. But how many of us always eat healthy? Man, that's awesome. I'll just make a confession. I don't eat healthy very often. Man, I like food. And if you've ever ate my wife's cooking, you would like food as well. I mean, because it is delicious. What I've tried to do, you know, instead of cutting out the things I've liked, I just eat smaller portions of it. And just to try and, you know, stay healthy that way. But many of us believe that eating healthy is good for us, but we don't behave that way. We don't really behave. Do you, you know, we believe better than we behave. It's almost like the Alabama Crimson Tide believed that they would beat the Texas Longhorns yesterday, but they didn't behave that way. Hook 'em horns, you know. Yeah, come on. I mean, won that game. You know, it's almost like this. The Dallas Cowboys believe that they're good, but they really behave in a different way, all right? And they'll find out tonight, you know, how well they, you know, behave. Do they behave according to their belief, all right? And I know I've got several avid Cowboy fans in our church, and I recently found out that Rusty is one, and I'm like, oh, no, not another one. I mean, this guy is, like, passionate, you know. And they were telling us that he just watches every single game. He's got to watch it. And he and Molly were over at the house not long ago and had a meal together and stuff. And the Cowboys were coming. And this, what do they call it? Off-season game or something like that? Preseason. Yeah, preseason. Where they don't really matter. It's like the third string's playing. And the moment the game comes on, he just acts like he's visiting with us. I mean, you can tell he's totally distracted, you know, because a preseason game is on with the Cowboys. I'm like, oh, not another one. Come on, you know. And then, would you believe it? I think she's on our praise team, Krista Woods, and she wears a Cowboys jersey to church today. I'm like, when she walked in the door, I'm like, get that off. That's just heathenistic wearing that to church, all right? Come on. And so I love talking about the Cowboys and picking on people and with that. And but by the way, mentioning the Woods, congratulations to the Woods family and the Chambers family and Kendra and Dayton, the birth of their little girl now. And it's just so awesome. And within 2 weeks now, we've had three new babies at Encounter Church. Right back here. I mean, it's Sarah. I mean, Sarah, did you bring, Callum, did I get that right? Callum with you. Her and Clay have beautiful Callum. Look at the Callum. Look at that back there. Woo, look how handsome that boy is. Wow. Yeah. And Maddie and Sarah, they've done had a baby, and I can't remember his name. Say that again. Brenham. And so congratulations if they happen to be watching live stream. And now Kendra and Dayton, is it Emma? Ella. Man, see, don't hold it against me, man, trying to learn all these new babies' names. Ella. And, I mean, so congratulations. When was it, last night or was it the night before last? Last 3:02 yesterday morning. Okay. And so congratulations. There's Pawpaw back there. And also, congratulations to all these families and all these newborn babies. But you know, sometimes we do believe better than we behave. Here's one. How many of you believe going to the gym and working out is good for you? Yeah, we believe it. It's really good for you. But how many of us behave that way? Do we just consistently go and work out at the gym? Yeah. We believe sometimes better than we behave. John chapter 15, verse 5, the Bible says, Jesus is talking. He says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Wow, I love that. But turn that around. What he's saying is connected to me. I mean, there's nothing impossible for you. You're going to produce fruit is what Jesus is saying. This is a promise from the Word of God that Jesus gives. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But connected to me, wow, what can you do? You skip down a couple of verses and the Bible says this, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted you. Wow, do you really believe that? He says, if you remain in me, my words in you, if you remain connected to me, if you remain in relationship to me, you can ask what you want, and it will be given to you. How powerful is that, my friends? How incredible is that? And all of us would probably say, yeah, we believe what that says, but do we behave like what that says? And what is the behaving part? It's remaining connected to Him in prayer. Wow. Remaining in Him in prayer, connected to Him. Wow. Why is prayer, let me just ask you, why is prayer often the extracurricular activity in the church? Wow. Why is sometimes prayer meeting sometimes the least attended meeting in the church? Because we believe sometimes better than we behave. Because if we really believed in the power of prayer, and believed that when the church prays, things happen. I mean, in Acts chapter 12, the Bible tells us that when Peter was thrown into prison, the Bible it's one of the only places in the Bible where it says the church prayed. Other than, you know, the upper room, and they were together, praying together. But it specifically used the language church. It says the church prayed. And Peter was delivered from prison, my friend. Wow. And really, in that passage of scripture, did you know they were really behaving better than they were believing? Because when he got to the house where they were praying, the young girl that answered the door when Peter was knocking on the door goes back and tells the other ones that are praying, and they're like, no, that can't be Peter. It must be an angel. See, they were actually behaving better than they were believing. And sometimes, maybe even when we kind of have questions, maybe it would do us justice if we would just behave the way we know we need to behave. Because when he was set free from prison, they were praying for him. I mean, they're like, no. I mean, there was no way. That can't be Peter. And it was. I mean, they were behaving, but were they really believing? They questioned. Well, no way. I mean, friends, sometimes we believe better than we behave, especially when it comes to prayer, because we truly believe in the power of prayer. I meet folks often that are struggling with something, and they're praying about something, and they pray once or twice, and it doesn't happen, and then they're like, well, man. Friends, if we really believed, we would pray and not stop praying until it happens. Until it happens, my friend. And sometimes we often look at prayer as, again, the extracurricular activity. And praying together as a church as an extracurricular. You know, that praying, those people that pray together, they're just crazy. Bunch of crazy people. I don't want to go to no prayer meeting with all them crazy people. Man, there's just something about them that's different. They like praying. You know, it's just, they're weird. Those folks are weird. And sometimes that's the way we see prayer in the body of Christ. But can I tell you, my friends, when the church prays, when we gather together and pray, God does move. And one of the last command that Jesus gave his disciples before he left the earth, what did he say to them in Acts chapter 1, verse 4? He said, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. And they understood. They know what he meant to say. He was talking about prayer and them praying together, because what did they do? They went to the upper room, and they did what? They begin as a church praying together, because in verse 14 of Acts 1, it says, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer. Wow. Along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that there were 120 people in that upper room. Do you know how, I don't want to use the word difficult. So let me just say it this way. Do you know how interesting it is getting people united in prayer? Especially 120 people. I'll show you the way it is in the church, just a perfect example of that. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we have new lights in our sanctuary. Those old fluorescent lights aren't there anymore. Some of us never really even look up to the ceiling and pay attention to that, but we have new lighting. Well, these lights, these are LED lights, and they're adjustable. They can get really blue. They call it blue light and bright, or they can get kind of calmer with the yellow. And so one day, all the lights were up, and I'm here in the office, and I invite Joanne, and I invite Jeannie, and I invite Kayla to come, and we're all standing back there in the back, just three of them. And I'm like, now, which one do you like? What color do you like? And every one of them chose something different. They couldn't even agree, the three of them. There was no agreement on the color of the lights. They were all three of them wanted something different. Now get 120 people in one room. And them be united in prayer. Wow, when the church prays. I mean, something begins, really happens when the church prays, my friend. And it's so, the prayer was so foundational to Jesus, so foundational to the apostles, so foundational to the early church. Because the Bible says that they were devoted to prayer in Acts chapter 2, the birth of the early church. They were devoted to prayer. But somehow through all the years, prayers become something that is, like I said, is an extracurricular activity done in a back room somewhere. Oh, my friends, sometimes we believe better than we behave when it comes to this idea of corporate prayer in our lives. Wow. And so I want to talk to you, why is that? Why is that? And just five things very quickly. Why is that? That we believe better than we behave. Number one is sometimes we don't see prayer as relational. Did you know prayer is relational? God is a relational God. What if I talk to God as much as what if I talk to my spouse as much as I talk to God? Think about that for just a moment. What if I talk to my spouse as much as I talk to God? Would there be any conversation? Have you ever seen like a couple go out to eat? You're sitting there and they sit there and they eat their food. They never look at each other, never talk to one another. And they just eat. Did you know that's not really a marriage? That's a couple of people that are just trying to survive because of some vows they made. Because there's no communication. There's no relation. God's a relational God. And sometimes we believe better than we behave because We need to be reminded that prayer is relational. It's a relationship with God. It's building that relationship with Him. In fact, in Jeremiah 29 and 13, this is what God says to the prophet. He says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Can you see that's, it's relational. When you seek me with all your heart, not your head, with all your heart. That's talking about a relationship. Where we're communing with God and He's speaking with us. And sometimes we just need to be reminded that it is about a relationship. Why did God create Adam and Eve? He wanted a family, but He didn't just want a family. He wanted a relationship with His family. He would walk with them in the cool of the garden. He would meet with them. He would commune with them. And that's what God wants to do with you on a daily basis, my friend. He wants to speak with you and talk with you and communicate with you. Wow. Make communion with God a priority in your life. It's about relationship. One of the second reason sometimes we believe better than we behave is, and look at your neighbor and say, buckle up. Don't buckle up. Get ready. Come on, say, get ready. Come on, tell them, get ready. Get ready. Another reason that we sometimes believe better than we behave is this, is we don't perceive the separating power of tolerated sin. Let me say that again. We don't believe in the separating power of tolerated sin. I know we all make mistakes, friends. We all do. We all make, none of us are perfect. But I think sometimes we take this message of the blood of Christ and the grace of God. And there's a potential there to use this message of the power of His blood and what He's done for us to excuse the consistent sin in our life. And we use passages of Scripture that are very powerful and very good and very true. Because the Bible tells us in the book, I believe it's 1 John, we have an advocate with, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. It's Jesus Christ. Yes, that is true, my friend. We do have an advocate. It's Jesus Christ. And the Bible goes on to tell us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank God for His wonderful grace and the power of His grace. But listen, those verses do not give us the freedom to live in sin. sin in our life. Jesus died and he shed his blood and he was resurrected from the grave to deliver us from the power of sin, not to excuse our sin, my friend. And sometimes we need to remember that there is that separation. There's something there that our sin separates us from just that God's presence in our life. Why? God hasn't moved. We've moved, my friend. And that sin separates us. And it's because we're tolerating sin and we're using the grace of God to do it. When Paul said, take off that old man and put on that new nature. Wow. Put on that new nature, my friend. Put it on. And I know holiness is a condition of our heart, my friend. And God said, be holy for I am holy. And again, it's not talking about never making a mistake or anything like that. We all do. But when we get to the place in our life, well, we just tolerate that sin. We live in that sin. And then we use the forgiveness and the grace of God to do that, my friend. Man, in relationship, you distance yourself from the presence of God because Jesus died and shed his blood to deliver us from the power of sin. Sin no longer has a hold on our life because of the blood of Jesus. And let me just say this, and I'll say it, I said it in the first service, and it's something I'd usually say on a Wednesday night because those people there on Wednesday night when I'm teaching, they're there and they're hungry, they're ready to hear something deeper. But my friends, in the body of Christ, we've become too accustomed to walking and treading upon the blood of Jesus Christ. When we tolerate sin, he's delivered you from the power of sin. I mean, if you're struggling with it, don't let that be a condemnation in your life. Find a few friends to be close to. Connect to a community group. Man, there's people that will help you be accountable with your life. Let people speak into you. Listen. Somebody needs to hear this. I didn't say it in the first service. Satan does his best work in the dark. But when you bring it to the light, my friend, there's freedom, there's deliverance. Tolerated sin, and I'm going to use another word, accepted sin, separates us. Moves us away from God's presence. Wow, God doesn't go anywhere. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But when we just live with it and accept it because of what Christ has done, my friend, it affects our relationship with God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, here's what he told the children of Israel. And, you know, friends, we've got to stop justifying our sins while they're corrupting our lives. It corrupts our life when we justify it. But here's what it says in Isaiah 59 and what God told the Israelites. Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and he will not listen anymore. He will not listen anymore. If you're struggling with something, my friend, you know that Christ, when you walk in what Christ has done for you, you are delivered from the power of sin and the hold of sin on your life, my friend. He will set you free. He loves you. He's not condemning you. He's not putting shame on you. He's not putting guilt on you. But friends, don't use that to tolerate sin. Don't use that to tolerate sin in your life. Wow. What is that old saying? Sin will take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. It will. All right, friends. Wow. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, man, he needs to go on. Wow. So why do sometimes we believe better than we behave? Number three, we do not understand that prayer prepares us for spiritual warfare. And did you know we are in a battle in our country? We are in a battle. We are in spiritual warfare in our country. There is a battle in our country for our country. Listen, the enemy wants to take America down. Why? Because the enemy knows that there is no country in the world that has touched this world more than what America has with the good news of Jesus Christ. And we are in a battle. We are in spiritual warfare in our country. And prayer prepares us and helps us in this moment of spiritual warfare. In Ephesians 6 and 18, Paul is talking about the armor of God, and he's talking about spiritual warfare. Look what Paul says. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Prayer is a part of your spiritual armor, my friend. That's why we need to behave according to what we believe, because we are in a battle. There is spiritual warfare going on all around us, friend. We're involved in it every day, my friend. And we need prayer in our life on a daily basis and staying connected with God. In World War I, the British were in a battle at sea with the Germans. And their very first warships that were sunk by the Germans, and then they had a second one, and then they had a third one, and in that third one they lost 1,200 lives, and the whole of their ships was. Strong. It was just. I mean, it was very well protected and armored. But what they didn't realize that when they built these ships, they didn't pay attention to the deck of the ship, and they built it with wood. And so the Germans were dropping artillery on them from the air and sinking the ships because it was breaking through the wood. And when they finally figured it out, they changed that and started building ships that had the steel there, the protection there. But initially, they just used wood to where the enemy was sinking them with the artillery from the air. And that's what happens with a prayerless life. Is the deck is just wood. And sometimes, man, we're in battles, and we don't understand the spiritual warfare that's going on. And so, friends, we need to be praying daily, Paul said. Part of our spiritual armor. And we need to behave according to our belief. Anybody here believe we're in spiritual warfare? If you really believe that, wow, Paul says pray consistently. Be persistent in your prayers, my friend, because we are in a battle. Man, sometimes we believe better than we behave. And the fourth reason today that we believe better than we behave, and Stacy briefly mentioned it, and you know, Stacy doesn't know what, you know, have my sermon notes, and it was just the Spirit of God as she was talking about Martha and Mary and how Jesus went to their house, and Martha was just busy. And getting upset at Jesus, getting mad at Mary. And sometimes we believe better than we behave because we crowd out prayer with other things. We crowd out prayer with other things. Anybody here ever, you know, life is just busy for you? It's just busy, you know. You have kids, grandkids. I mean, this last week is probably the busiest that Jeannie and I have been in some time. I mean, it was very busy, you know, and doing so many things and working here at the church and then going to watch kids play football and all those different things. And those are fun. I mean, and we were there with a small group of people from the church last night, all the way in a lecture. Justin and Kelly were there. Thomasons were there. Pastor Tyler was there. We were there pretty late, but life sometimes it gets that way. It's just busy. But sometimes we get so busy that we crowd out prayer in our lives. And that's what was happening. Martha was so upset, and she didn't recognize that. She just didn't recognize the moment when Jesus himself was sitting in her house and Mary chose to sit at his feet. Wow. And I wonder how many times he's been right there and I missed him because of the busyness. I'll be really transparent with you. And as Stacy's coming, and this morning, wow, this is total transparency, okay? This morning I had to repent to the Lord because I did something that I really try not to do. I try and manage my life really, really in such a way that I don't get caught doing this. And I didn't manage my life very well this last week. And I had this message prepared. I think it was on Tuesday of this last week. I had this message prepared, but I still needed to go over it, kind of fine tune it, and things such as that. But my weekends, I usually don't jam them up full because I want to be ready for Sunday morning. And I don't want to be rushed and don't want to feel like, I just kind of halfway prepared myself for Sunday morning. And this next week, we're going to be picking up the new chairs for the church and on Tuesday. And so I knew that that was happening, and we wanted to get the sanctuary painted before the new chairs got here. And I don't know if you noticed, the walls are now whiter than they were. It's a beautiful white. And by the way, when you get up, thank God for these chairs that many people have set in since they bought them all up 23 years ago. Oh, really? What, I don't know. The chairs have been here, what, 30 years? I thought Tony said 23 years or something like that. 24, so yeah. 20. Yeah. Thank God for the wonderful, what these chairs have provided. We're getting some new ones, and thank God for that. I don't know why. I don't know why. Sometimes I do. I want to use that word that kids don't really need to hear. I do silly things. Okay, I just do silly things. I love to paint, by the way. But I'm a roller guy. I like to roll. Just get the roll, and roll. And when last time I painted, it's been a few years. It's probably been, I don't know, 4 or 5 years since they've been painted. And I painted this whole sanctuary in one day. Just rolled it. And wasn't really hard at all. But I thought, what I'm going to do this time? I'm going to go buy me an airless sprayer. And I'm going to spray this sanctuary because I just think it'll look better. And so it took me almost all day Friday doing the prep work alone so I didn't get paint everywhere. And then I got started on Friday evening, got it done, ran out of paint. By the time I got through, Lowe's was already closed. And I'm just tired as ever, man. I'm like, and so Saturday, if you were here for the meeting Friday with the community group leaders, you walked in here and there's just stuff everywhere, man, papers everywhere, just all over the place. And I'm like, why am I doing this? You knucklehead. Kenneth, what are you doing? And plus, I've never used an airless sprayer. So I had to learn how to set the thing up and use it. So that took time. And then you had to clean the thing afterwards. And I'm like, who in the right mind? If I had just got my roller, my pail, and my paint, and just come in here and taped off like I usually do, just a little bit, and rolled this thing, I'd be done, and the cleanup's so easy. I'm just like, Kenneth. And so yesterday, man, after I'd done all the prep work, I went and bought more paint and sprayed the rest of it and got it done. And thank God that, you know, for the John and Jen, they live right around the corner over here. Jeannie called and said, man, can you come help clean up? And then Justin showed up and Justin helped me do some final things in here. But you know what? Even all that prep work, I had paint everywhere. It was all over. I mean, I'm like, when we tore the stuff off, we had to shampoo the edges of the carpet over there. And I had like, I can't remember, it's 12 or 18 inches of stuff, you know, paper out there, but there was still spray all over, you know, and we're having to shampoo the carpets and all that stuff, and I was so embarrassed by how much spray was on that up there that I got here really early this morning, and I'm covering it, man. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't let people, you know. I didn't wear this, I wore some other things when I went to church early this morning. I think I got here around 5 or 5:30, you know, and I'm painting all that stuff and just trying to cover it. I still didn't get everything covered, and there's just spray everywhere, all over the place, and I'm like, why did I not just get my roller and paint this thing? Man. And so I want you to, I mean, the last 3 days, I've got up very early in the morning, come over to the church, and just worked all day long. All day long. Into the evenings. And then last night, we went over to Electra to watch some kids and cheerlead and then play a game. And man, it was just wonderful. Cheerleading was awesome, by the way. Loved it. You did a great job. Football game was good. It was all fun to watch, but I was dead dog tired. Then this morning, man, I'm just dragging in here, you know. I had to hang them curtains back over those windows over there. And you might be sitting there saying, well, Ken, why didn't you just get some help to do all this? Because I'm stubborn, you know. And I don't think anybody can do it as good as me, you know. That's just but thank God they showed up yesterday. And so this morning, it's been months and months and months since I had been that busy before Sunday morning. So in my office this morning, I had to repent and say, God, forgive me. I don't normally do this. I am, you know, going over the message, and I'm like, God, if anything happens today, it's going to be you, and it needs to always be him, but I have zero energy. I'm just like, my goodness. And I had to repent because I got so busy before Sunday morning. So busy. You know? And so, we all get there sometimes. Martha was so busy, she missed Jesus sitting there in the house. So busy, she missed it. Wow. I just want to encourage you. I don't know what your life looks like, but Jesus had come to Martha's home, but she gave herself to other things and missed him. And I don't know what your life looks like, and we all live busy lives, got kids, grandkids, and all that, and I love it. Soccer's about to start, and so like every Saturday morning for a while, I'm going to be driving to Bowie, Texas, you know, and watching the soccer game, but I love doing that. I love it. You know, it's fun to watch it, you know. Fun to watch them kids play it, cheerlead and do all of those things. We need to do those things. But my friend, sometimes life can get so busy that we miss Jesus being right there. Right there. And by the way, I preached a couple of weeks ago on self-inflicted stress. Well, I didn't even follow my own message, man. I didn't go by my own sermon. I mean, like, because I'm just stressed out as ever yesterday, man. I'm just... this morning coming here, I'm stressed out as ever, really early, and Stacy walks into the church, she's like, you're in sweatpants. I'm like, oh man, I've been working this morning early. I guess I need to practice what I preach, huh? Be a good thing. The last thing is, one of the reasons we don't we believe believe better. One of the reasons we believe better than we behave is we think we can handle things ourselves. We can think we can just do it ourselves. You know, and James 4, 1 and 2 says this: what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Wow. Don't miss this plain and powerful truth right here. You do not have because you do not ask. Oh, God's a good father, my friends. God's a good father. And when we wrap up today, and I'm going to go ahead and let Ken share it. I'm not going to share it. He'll ask him to share what he did about this in the first service when he closes it out. But I want you to know, God's a good father. He's not a miser. He's not holding back. He loves to give good gifts to his children. And sometimes we don't have because we just don't ask. We don't ask him. We don't ask him. Wow. We think we can do it ourselves. Man, this morning I had to pray for strength this morning, man. And this morning when I crawled out of the bed, it was like, I think it was like 4:30 this morning. I crawled out of the bed, and man, my body was aching. It was, I mean, I'm like, man, Kenneth, you are not 25 anymore. Stop this stuff. I'm not 45 anymore. You didn't have to say that. I mean, they could look at me and say, man, he looks 45. I mean, but you didn't have to say that. But I'm like, my body was like, Kenneth, you know better than do what you were doing. You know, and I had to really pray and say, God, I need strength today. I need. That's why I'm sitting down this morning, because man, woo, I'm tired, and I got any strength. But I asked him for it, even though I knew I didn't manage my time well. Even though I knew I didn't do right in that. Okay, even though I knew I should have just got the roller and rolled this thing, I still said, God, give me strength, please. I need it. Guess what, man? I'm really feeling good. I do feel good. I feel great. Because he's a good father, and he'll give you what you ask for. Wow, you don't have it because you don't ask. That's the picture that we get in the Bible of God. When you read the Bible, that he lavishes good things on his children. He'll bless you. I mean, he blessed the Bible from the very beginning. The Bible says he blessed Adam and Eve and said, be fruitful and multiply. They hadn't earned one bit of it. He blessed Abraham. Man, he blessed Abraham. And now said, go be a blessing. He blessed him. That's the God we serve. He blesses. And I want to close with this story, short story real quick. Adrian Rogers, he's passed away now. Great pastor, great teacher of the word. I love listening to this man. I mean, this guy, just incredible. But he told a story of when, in one of his first sermons, about when he was in Bible school. He was young. He and his wife were in Bible school in the early days. And during the summer, during the break, they went to Florida and they served in a church in Florida. And after the break was over with, they went back to school. Well, when they were going to be leaving the church to go back to the school, one of the deacons of the church gave them, like, the way he described it was duffel bags full of oranges. Wonderful. They had an orchard. Beautiful taste. I mean, just wonderful, sweet tasting oranges. And more than what they could eat before the oranges would spoil. So when they got back to their apartment they were living in, they put the oranges in the closet, and through time, they just began eating them and giving them away, eating them and giving them away. And so one day, whether at break from the classes, at lunch, they went back to their apartment and they were eating lunch. And he said from the table, he watched out his window and saw a young boy sneaking around in their backyard. Well, they had an orange tree in their backyard, but it was sour oranges. And you can't eat sour oranges. And what, if you ever bite into a sour orange, it's awful. It is awful. And this kid didn't know it, but he's sneaky. He's trying to steal an orange. And so he steals the orange and then he sneaks off. And from that, from watching that, God spoke to Brother Adrian Rogers, and he said, like this, he said, you know, if that kid would have just come and knocked on my door and asked me for an orange off of the tree, I would have told him, no, you can't eat those oranges. But, oh, I've got plenty of oranges right here in the closet. Wonderful, sweet oranges just to give you. If he would have just come and asked for them instead of just taking an orange off of that sour tree. And my friends, if we just ask God, if we just ask him, wow. Sometimes we try to do it on ourselves. If we just ask him, won't you stand with me? If we just ask him, what do you need to ask God for? What do you need to ask God for? Let me say this. Something I added in the first service that I'll add right here too. Not in my notes. I believe in working hard. Okay? I believe in good hard work. I believe work is a biblical thing. All right? But sometimes we have thought this way, that I can only have what I work for. If I'm going to have it, got to work for it. And that's good. That's good. Got to have it, got to work for it. You know? And what? Can you believe with me for a moment that God maybe just wants to give you something that you didn't work for? A gift? Just bless you? Because he loves you? He loves to give good gifts to his children? So you ask him for whatever, you know? And it's good to work. I agree with that. But you only get what you work for. What about God just giving? Don't you love to bless your children? Don't you love just to give good gifts to your kids? I mean, my daughter-in-law, it just makes me so sick. She is such a planner. I mean, she plans. She is a planner. She's already planning Christmas. Yesterday, she took Lincoln out, and that's the way they do it. They take him out to a store. He points out what he wants, and they take pictures of it. So at Christmas, they can start buying Christmas early and start getting for him. Man, just plan. I mean, just a planner. It's awesome. That's why our church went to the next level when she started working here, because, boom, I mean, it just automatically went poop to the next level because I'm not a good planner. In fact, I mean, I'm not at all. I mean, she loves to plan. But already planning what they can go get him for Christmas to give to him. Wow. God's a giver of good gifts. And let me, just a word of caution. If you believe you have to work for everything you get, you might also believe you have to work for your salvation. And you don't. It's a gift. It's free to you. But friend, can I challenge you this morning? If you feel like you believe better than, I mean, or you behave better, or you believe better than you behave when it comes to prayer, when you, come on, God wants us to behave like we believe. Man, open up your heart. Even if it's something new in your life when it comes to prayer, praying with the body of Christ, as we're about to begin this 10 days of prayer, my friend, step into that moment. Step into that moment and see what God does in your life. What he does in your life. This time before we pray, we're going to share the communion together. And you can see you have tables in front of your section. And I want to invite everyone to come get a communion cup and then return to your section. And we're going to share the communion together. And we're going to pray together about this message. And so you can come. If you're visiting with us, you can still share the communion with us.
Within me.
like I need to ask this in this second service, and maybe you're watching and online, and I'm sorry, I should have mentioned earlier that we were sharing the community together. You still have time to go get some bread, some juice, and share it with us if you'd like. Get a crack or something that represents the body of Christ and some juice that represents his blood. But I just feel like if everyone would just close their eyes for just a moment and just reverence this moment, just like I did in this first service, I went over in this second service a little bit of time. But just stay with me for just a moment. I just feel like there's someone here, I don't know if you're watching online or you're here in this service, that you feel like, Ken, I've really kind of been distant from God. And today I just want to restore that relationship with him. If you just lift your hand right now and put it right back down. Anyone here? Thank you so much for your honesty. Thank you. Just sense that in my spirit. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. And I don't know what it might have been in your life, but just a few hands went up. Thank you right now. And Father, I just thank you. I want you to know that story of the prodigal son, that the moment he turned to the Father was already watching. And man, the Father welcomed him back with just open arms and threw a party for him. He didn't even question where he'd been. He just threw a party for him. He knew his son was back. And that's the heart of God towards you. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. And you just make that recommitment to him, that relationship with him. And then what I want to encourage you to do, also, I just sense this in my spirit. Get around some other believers that are full of life. Connect with them, community group, whatever it might be. And just enjoy that relationship with them and with your Father. And my friends, you'll just sense his love and that river of God flowing again in your life. Father, you saw the hands that were lifted. I just sense I needed to take that moment. You saw the hands that were lifted in this service, and maybe someone watching. I just pray, Father, for just a river of a spring of living waters flowing in their innermost being again, God. And they sense your love and your joy, your peace. Oh, thank you for Jesus and what he's done for us. As we share in this communion together, thank you for his blood and his body that this bread and cup represent, Lord. And thank you that by his stripes we are healed. So, Father, as we take the bread right now, we thank you for the broken body of Jesus Christ. Thank you again for healing. And thank you for his willingness to go to the cross. Jesus, thank you. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will draw every one of us to Jesus, and that you will reveal more of Jesus to us today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's share the bread together. Jesus, thank you for your blood. Thank you for that every ounce of your blood that was shed on the cross. That very first ounce that dripped out of you was for the remission of our sins. And there's still power in the blood of Jesus Christ today. And I think that what this cup represents to us, Father, it's life. There's life in the blood. And as we share in this cup together as a church family, I pray for a restoration of life in the heart, especially in the hearts of those that lifted their hands today. Thank you again, Jesus, for being willing to come. Let's share the cup together. Wow. Wow. Father, again, you're a good God. You're so good. You're not a miser. You're a Father that loves to give good gifts. And so, Father, I'm going to ask you for this next week for just joy unspeakable and full of glory, God, in your people. God, fill them with joy. And Father, I pray throughout this week, lead us to those who need Jesus Christ. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Ken is coming. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Well, I said a couple things in the first service. And I don't know whether he wanted me to tell you that I said I reached around for my steel-toed boots, but then I realized I didn't have any from stepping on my toes. How many felt like that today? You bunch of liars. How many felt like that today? Years ago, a former pastor preached about prayer. And it was so impactful that I wrote it inside my Bible. It's not the one that I bring because that one's falling apart. But it says this. It says, prayer is putting our faith not in the one who can't, but in the one who can. Prayerlessness is putting our faith not in the one who can, but in the one who can't. And that, boy, that point number five, how many got stuck with that one? Ouch, that hurts, doesn't it? Well, the verses that he shared there in James 4, 1 and 2, the verse 3 says that we pray, we ask God and we don't receive because we ask amiss, King James says. We don't ask according to his will. And so we get discouraged because, Lord, I've been asking you for this for a long time and I don't have it, so prayer doesn't do me any good, so now I'm not going to pray. And that's what we do. If we realized we were praying not according to his will, is why he loved us so much, that I'm not going to give you what you're asking for, because the rest of that verse says you're asking it to consume it upon your lust. You know, that hurts, doesn't it? But he knows us better than we know ourselves. And if we'll just pray about it, if we'll just ask him, he will give us that wisdom. He'll give us the knowledge of how to do things. He gives us the peace that passes the understanding, that says, Lord, I've been asking you for this, and I don't understand why I don't have it. And he says, that's okay, I'm giving you the peace that passes your lack of understanding, because that's not what's best for you. Did you experience the heaviness in the room this morning? You know, that wasn't the oppression of the enemy. That was the presence of God saying, get plugged back in.